The elders attempt to schedule these meetings quarterly. Is that true? Quarterly-ish? In an attempt to try to keep communication lines open between the elders and the congregation. So that's why we're here this evening. We got some things that we wanted to share with you. So thank you again for coming back. If you would be so kind as to join me in a word of prayer, we'll begin our time together. Heavenly Father, we pause at the beginning of our time together this evening to give you praise and to give you thanks. We are thankful for what you have done for us in your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and sending him to pay the debt that we could never pay as he died in our place on the cross. Thank you for what you accomplished there and in his resurrection. Thank you for the promise that we have of resurrection. What an incredible thing that the creator of the universe reached out to his rebellious, obstinate creation and made a way for us to be reconciled to you. So we give you thanks and praise for that. We thank you that you have instituted the church, that this local assembly that we call Delaware Bible Church is part of the body of Christ, and we glory in that. We thank you for the fact that you have chosen to use the church as your means of reaching out to the world to share the good news of the gospel. So we thank you for that privilege, for that opportunity. We thank you for the time that we can gather together this evening as brothers and sisters in Christ. We dedicate this time to you. We ask your blessing would be on it, and that we would have clear communication, and that all that is done and all that is said would bring glory and honor to you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. I'd like to invite Bob Johnson to come up first. He's going to give us a budget update. And in the meantime, there was a handout on the table when you came in. But if you didn't pick one of those up, if you raise your hand, Pastor Scott would be glad to hand you one of those, save you a trip back out to get one.
Anybody need a handout?
Going once. Going twice.
Well, on behalf of the Finance Committee of Delaware Bible Church, if you have questions, we're going to probably hold those unless they're like really important. Not that we want to cut out discussion, but we have to get through some other things. So I'm going to just give you a kind of a quick overview. I've circled everybody. Can everybody see that? Is one or two better? No, just kidding. Income. Now, we are 3 months into our fiscal year. So when you look at the far right where it says annual budget, that little laser, yeah, that works pretty good. Our budget of estimated giving for the year is $548,000. So year to date, we are actually about 28% above what we projected. So praise the Lord for that, right? Great. We also have two incomings that come from Delaware Christian, kind of to help pay for the cost of the ministry and the facilities, and also for the middle school Bible teacher allowance. So incomes every month from the school, $49.64. So you notice that's right at 100%. So general questions on that first page. All right, page two. I'm going to pick on myself because though the budget is divided over 12 months, some of us spend more money early in the year, so it kind of skews the numbers. So I've already spent, of the choir budget, 249%. But I buy most of the choir music in the first of the year, so it kind of spreads out over the year. So if you see some of these numbers that are kind of skewed and they're 600% or whatever, most of those will even out by the end of the year. Let's look at the next one. The HVAC, heating, vacation, and air conditioning, or something like that. So that is an annual paid upfront for the whole year. And so you can see that there's some discretion. Oops, sorry. There's some discretionary money that's available because that's already spent. Oh, I'm going to go back one more. One more. There we go. So we're at 349% already. The total budget for the year is $9,000. Well, there's a little bit of discretionary money because sometimes we may need to bring in the HVAC people to do some other stuff beyond our annual guaranteed statement budget. Questions on that page? All right, so Liberty Road, where the softball field are, we don't pay for that anymore. That's paid for by the school, so that shows a zero on the right. And if you're welcome at any time, if you want to see any of these numbers, come see me or any members of the Finance Committee. It's not like we're hiding these from you. It's just a lot of pages of numbers. Last one, I believe. So net income for October, negative $18,707, which means on that month, even though we paid something annually, we spent more than we anticipated. But we keep a running total. So if there's a negative, we take that money out of the church general fund. But in the previous month, there was an excess. So when there's an excess, that goes into the general fund. So that's how we keep track of all the money. So right now, cash on hand, building escrow, $158,000 to cover. Maybe we need a new heater on the roof here. Or maybe we're going to need a new air conditioner, whatever. And that's part of Jim Wilson and his committee did a great job all these years and kind of have some money ahead of the game for when things are going to break. Because we live in a fallen world and everything, it's called the law of entropy, everything dies. And it's this stage and all of it. It's going to have to be replaced someday. So the church general fund right now, we have $115,000 to cover unforeseen, any emergencies. Maybe the giving goes to zero one month. Not that it will, but so that's just money that we have extra. Now, we do not have $318,000 to spend on anything because most of it is already budgeted and allocated. But that's literally how much, quote, cash we have available if the church needs it for these various ministries. So we have $1,974 left in script. I know Jelaine would like to get rid of that. So if you could turn that in or buy that or whatever those useful things are. Any questions on any of those pages? All right. Yes, sir, Matt. Excuse me? That's church staff benevolent fund. That means the pastors at their discretion without going to the elders can get, I'm sorry, without, for staff, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what, I don't know why it's in the negative. Jelaine, where's Jelaine? She's not here. Usually when I have questions, I go to Jelaine. That one I can't answer, but Matt, I will get you an answer. I'll get you an answer. I'm curious now too. Any other questions? All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bob. I am going to be sharing information concerning Sacrifice Sunday and what our plans for. Again, if you're just rolling in with us, you came in a little bit late. You can grab this handout back in the back. And I know that you have all, as you've been sitting there, have read through this entire thing already. So I am going to give you the Reader's Digest version of it and share a few other things as well. So as you look to Sacrifice Sunday, if you remember last year, we changed the name and kind of how we work things from a year-end thank offering, where we collected it over the month of December, to Sacrifice Sunday, where we collect everything in 1 week. And as we do that, we'll share a little bit more of that about that at the end. But as we looked at the numbers, as we looked at what normally came in, we decided that a good goal for this year would be $31,000. It would be very similar to what we get in each year, but also one that would fulfill the needs that we were looking at with the projects. As we did previously last year, as we gave towards the ultrasound machine, we've allocated about the same amount of money towards other ministries and their needs. So as you look at that, you'll see basically three ministries that we're looking at. We're looking at the global needs, those away from us, the local needs, the ones here at home, as well as church needs or those needs here within our community. So as you look at that, you're going to see that the highest number of money that we're going to be giving away is going to be towards our friends in Puerto Rico, the Delitzsch family, our supported missionaries here at the church. And I've got just a few pictures as well that you can just see. I'll scroll through them as we go. Of these are pictures that they had sent in their email as well. So as we give this $10,000, we're going to be giving it towards needs that they have, such as they shared with us battery-powered light bulbs, batteries, water filter kits, hygiene kits, and Spanish gospel tracts. Now, what we're going to do is all the money that's collected, we're going to be putting in a fund for the Delitzsch family, and then based on their needs, we'll either write a check directly to them, or, you know, if they say, well, we need all these things on Amazon and we can't get them, well, we can take care of the handling it and shipping it and those type of things. So we'll handle all that internally, however they would like it to be given out. Some other needs that Jake Delitzsch mentioned, I want to read a portion of an email that he wrote to Pastor Scott, which says, this hurricane season has brought to light that we need to buy hurricane shutters for our home. During both hurricanes in September, the boards that were spent days putting up blew off both times. Being able to secure our home with proper hurricane shutters will free up so much of our time during the hurricane season to help others prepare for the storms. Also, we have heard they can help slow down the flooding of the house during the hurricanes. There are three other projects we are currently investigating, so these are some other things that our money could go towards. Number one, helping a church about 40 minutes from us where the hurricane hit the hardest. Number two, giving and helping at a drug rehab center run by a church where the chapel and the detox center is completely destroyed. And number three, giving donations and supplies to help a nonprofit organization here in Puerto Rico who rescue abused women as well as orphans. So beyond just the normal everyday activities, the money that we're going to be giving towards these things will be used for these matters as well. So we'll be helping a lot of different ministries potentially through this based on what they tell us are the right things or what they're looking to use the money for there. Any questions on that specific portion of what we're going to give our money towards? Great. So next, you'll see the local needs. So basically, as we look at this, how we give it is this. If just $10,000 were to come in, now historically we haven't seen that, but then we'll just give towards that need. And as more money comes in, we give towards the next. So after $10,000 is given, the next $5,000 we're going to keep here within our community to give towards the Turning Point Domestic Violence Shelter campaign. And I'm not going to share any more of that myself. I'm going to ask our sheriff, Russ Martin, to come up, and he is going to share a little bit more about that project.
So each morning I pass by a young man in the Veterans Administration whose mother lives in Puerto Rico, and I get weekly updates from him on her condition, and it was almost 2 months before she had power, and almost the same amount of time before she had fresh water. And were it not for a reservoir that she had collected fresh water in prior to the hurricane, she would not have had any fresh water. So this need continues to be ongoing. I'm so grateful that Delaware Bible Church has continues to express an interest in giving locally. I currently serve as a co-chair for the funding of the capital campaign for the domestic violence shelter Turning Point. Delaware County is the largest county in Ohio. It does not have a domestic violence shelter. And I was reminded this morning as Pastor Scott was preaching, he talked about not returning evil, and he was talking about sometimes the stress that accompanies holidays. And I will tell you, in a quick moment, I was able to recall domestic violence situation after domestic violence situation that I had gone to as a first responder on the holidays. And I can tell you, there's not too many more calls that are more discouraging to be in somebody's home and see the backdrop of the Christmas tree and see them fighting over things that we would consider ridiculous. But that's the painful way that a lot of people live. And I know that firsthand because after 37 years in this profession, a lot of things have changed. except the response to domestic violence, and it is the second most frequent call for service that law enforcement receives in this county. And this is a rich county. So if you think this is confined to specific demographics or socioeconomic groups, it is not. It's across the board. And the pastoral staff knows firsthand at this church, and as I interact with pastors around this community, you know there's over 140 churches in this county. And part of my goal is to reach out to as many of those as I can to see how they might invest locally in this mission of reaching out to generally women and children caught up in the throes of domestic violence. So I will tell you, twice in the last 2 years, I've received late evening, early morning calls where domestic violence has, at its worst, has taken the life of both the husband and his wife in front of the children. And those calls have drastic impact on the children left behind and really, frankly, on your first responders that have to go there. So having said all that, I am fully involved in trying to get a domestic violence shelter here in Delaware County. The closest one is in Marion. Turning Point has one in Marion. Serves a 6-county area, but we will not turn anybody away. I just came on the board at Turning Point in the last couple of months. And Columbus. And the problem is when you respond as a first responder, maybe the call hasn't reached a level where somebody's going to get arrested, but somebody needs to find a safe haven to go to. There's no place locally for, generally, these women and children to go to. And this church has been gracious in housing people caught up in domestic violence, or we've paid for housing, temporary housing for people. And my vision is that the churches, the faith-based community in this county comes together and helps support this project, and frankly, helps support the project ongoing with a monthly giving through their missionary fund. But I'll come back to you later on and talk to you about that. So having said that, we have now raised a little over $2.2 million towards about a $3.1 million project. The facility is located at 500 North Liberty. If you've been in this community very long, many of you know it. There was a Christian school up there. It's the last address before you go into the fairgrounds. It's a great footprint. It's been purchased, but we've stripped everything down to the bare walls, and we're rebuilding it back up. And there's a lot of construction going on up there. I didn't bring any photos tonight, but I can do that at a later time if there's interest in that. A couple months ago, my wife and I were guests at Worthington Presbyterian Church, and on a Sunday morning, I had an opportunity to present to that congregation, and they determined that 50% of their missions giving at the end of the year was going to go towards this project. So we have a lot of our faith-based partners involved in it. I'm grateful that Brad and the pastoral staff and the elders are keeping some money here locally, and I will tell you, first and foremost, as a sheriff, it's long overdue. So thank you.
Thank you, Russ. After we have collected the $15,000 there, the last $2,000 towards needs of others, we're sticking here within the church in our benevolent fund ministry. And what that is, if you may not know, that is as people come in and they fill out the paperwork and they come in here to the church, normally they speak to me, or if I'm not here, Pastor Scott or another member of the staff or someone. We can help outsiders with their needs as we talk to them and find out those needs. Along with that, a larger portion of that often, not all the time, but often can go towards those here within the church that have needs. So if you remember when we gave the money towards the Boitar family, we gave that and we said it was going to go into the benevolent fund. So we take the money from that, and that's where we distribute towards those things. So any questions then on the needs of others? The projects that we plan on there, the first $17,000 that we collect. Okay, so if we were to collect under $17,000 there, then again, it would just go towards wherever we're at on that list and then as listed through on the projects. Then we're going to focus on some needs here within the church. And as we do this, we're going to get a little bit technical, but I'm going to try to keep it as simple as I can. After we collect the first $17,000, the next $14,000 that is collected is going to be used to take care of our needs here. And we'll talk about anything over that here in just a minute. But the main project that we're going to be taking care of is our piano over here. Now, you may have heard the piano this morning. It sounded great, and Sungwon Kim did a wonderful job this morning. But what we have learned, we have a professional piano tech that comes in and tunes our piano, handles all those things. And he has let us know that we are in need of major repair on that piano. Now, before I share any more about the repair or anything, let me say this. That piano, I found out, has been here almost 50 years. And this is the only major repair we've ever had to do on it to this extent. Not only that, but we were also told by a second opinion who came in, another professional who came in, piano tech, that if we were to repair this and continue to maintain it, that piano will be fine for another 50 years. So what we're looking at is a big expense, but at the same time, too, it's the only major expense we've had since that's been here. So what we're looking at, then, is this pin block here. And this is not something that you're going to be able to technically see very well there, but basically, as we're looking at the pin block, it is the piece on the piano that is going to grip the tuning pins tightly so it doesn't go out of tune. And basically what the tech has told us is this, that he has tightened those to the point, he's done all the little tricks that he can do, and basically at this point, once it goes, it goes. And when that goes, the piano itself, the tuning and all that is going to go. So it's something we're going to have to repair, and it's one of those, it's better to do it sooner rather than later. So as we look at it, that project itself is going to be $6,600. Now, as well as when you do that, then there's some other general piano work that you should be doing at the same point, and I've included those little things there, the damper glide railings, the back check heads. Over the last week, I've learned more about a piano than I ever have in my life. But as we look at it, then, it has been confirmed by pretty much every person that I've talked to, because I found out this, that it's really hard to get a piano tech that rebuilds pianos. They'll tune them, but they won't rebuild them. And I've been told by multiple people that the guy that we have is the best in the area, and one of the best in Columbus, and as well, that the price that he's quoting us there is very fair. Because as I'm looking at that, I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's a lot of money for a piano. Well, for some perspective along with that, if we were to replace that piano, I've been told that it would cost in the range of $35,000 to $50,000. So it is quite an expense, but again, it's a long-term investment, and we have never had an issue like that. The goal would be, if we can, once the money comes in for it, around January or sometime in there, if we can, in between concert season and all the busyness here, to take it out and have it worked on, because they have to take it off-site and handle it. Along with that, some of you may have heard through the one call, or you were here on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we had a professional AV technician come in, and basically he EQ'd the room, and he's still working on some things, so that the sound in here is, we can get it to the best that we can with the current equipment that we have. And one of the things that he told us during that time was, most of our equipment, hey, it's great, it's wonderful, it's good stuff, but we do need to invest in a new piano mic. And as we looked at this project, we thought, well, this would be the perfect time to do that, so we would be investing in the factory standard piano mic as well. A total for that part of the project is going to be $9,240, and that's signed, sealed, and delivered, the piano and everything else. Any questions then on the piano? Wonderful, because that was the most complicated thing, I promise. After that money is collected, so at this point we've raised $26,000, praise the Lord. The next $4,000 is going to be used to purchase multi-purpose temporary walls for the commons. And as I explain these walls to you, I think one of the best things for me to do, that's an example of the broken pin block as well, or the cracked pin block. As we look at these walls, I think the best thing for me to do is show you a video of it. So before I do that, let me explain what we're looking to do. As we have one service now that we all worship in together, often you'll see that we open up the overflow. Now, as we open up the overflow, you're opening it up to a lot of noise in the commons and a lot of distractions. And what we're trying to do is make the overflow space as comfortable as possible so we can continue to worship together. So basically what we're looking at doing is purchasing two of these movable temporary walls that we can basically put there in the commons, and that'll add 50 seats comfortably there with that wall behind it. So let me just show you a little bit of a video of what this would look like. And that right there is the actual size of it that would be stored there in the commons. So as you can see, and this is the type of unit that we would get, it condenses, but it goes totally to 25 feet long, and it's called a 360 room divider. So you can basically contort this to however you want, so it's going to fit there within your space. So the idea is that we would have a U there in the commons back there where we currently have the chairs for overflow. So as you see that then, he can continue to move it around. He can contort it. You can make it such as a classroom setting, or it's going to give us more flexibility and options there in the commons. So as you look at that there, I want to just, because I know we're all visual people, and I want to, as best as I can, be able to show you exactly what we're looking at there, because we're going to be using these primarily for two things. Number one will be Sunday mornings, but as well on Wednesday nights with the youth group. And let me just show you, here's a picture of our current common space. I took it this afternoon, and this is what we've been putting up each week for overflow. We've been trying to sit as many people as we can in here, especially if you move to the middle and are not all on the ends like we've been asking you to do, because that's really wonderful and great. But as we open this up here, the idea would be that these would be placed so that we can put a U around here and also keep the middle part open so that we have another exit or entrance for or an exit and an entrance point, so that you all can be in and out exactly the same. It isn't going to be perfect, but it would look something like this is what you're going to see. You would just see the two walls, and you wouldn't be able to see all the chairs there. If anyone had to come back to the back to nurse their baby or anything like that, they could still sit at the tables there in the commons. It's going to be less distracting. It's going to make the people that sit back there feel a little bit more like they're a part of worship here together. And as well, along with that, there in the commons, you can see these pillars over here. And as these are 25 feet long, basically what they're also going to be able to do is they're going to be able to go the entire length of the commons. Now, that's important because if you've ever come here on Wednesday nights, anytime after 6:30, what you're going to see is that the youth group's going to be meeting there in the commons. And it is incredibly distracting for the youth group, and you're going to feel incredibly awkward walking through there as the youth group's meeting. So what we're going to do then is we can then move those, put them to the sides there, so that Pastor Aaron and the youth group can have a little bit more privacy. They can feel like they're in their own area, and the folks walking to prayer meeting or picking their kids up after Awana or anything like that, they're not going to feel like they're intruding or they're not supposed to be there. Does that make sense? Any questions then on the walls so far? Yes, Kim. I think that they could for certain items, but the main thing that they use the commons for is for lunch, and then I think they have one study hall in there. So, I mean, if they wanted to put up a test there and roll them out, why not? You know, they're there, they're available. It is our ministry in. But no, I couldn't see them like every day using them for this or for that. Along with that as well, these panels are acoustically treated, and they will help deaden the sound, so you're not going to have a bunch of sound or reverb on there. And as well, you can see with that other picture, we've got different options. It doesn't have to be the color that's listed there on the sheet. It can be, we can go crazy with all the different colors they offer. So, all right, this is the one I was expecting all the questions on. So that would be a total of $4,000. Any questions on that one? You guys are great. Last thing that we are looking at then is we are looking at upgrading some of our church software and doing some promotional material for the Welcome Center. So along with that, you'll see that we would like to, at some point very soon, stop our current paper system for the Welcome Center, and we would like to go to a little bit more of a digital database, because what we're having to do right now is any of the information that we get, whether it be from the cards, from the pads at the Welcome Center, from wherever it's at, we're having to take that information then. We're having to put it on a spreadsheet, and then we're sending our letters, sending emails, sending those things that way. What we would like to do is streamline that process, and along with that, if there would be money available, use that for promotional material for the Welcome Center as well. We currently do not have any money listed in our budget for our Welcome Center, so it could go towards that, that being a total of $760. So as we're looking at those things then, our total goal would be $31,000. And again, we will work on the projects as the money comes in for them. And if we, let's say, praise the Lord, we reach a total of $35,000 or a greater number than that, anything over that $31,000, we are going to be putting there in the fund for the Delitzsch family. So as you consider prayerfully what the Lord would have you to give, just remember that anything over those amounts is going to the Delitzsch family. We may be able, hopefully, to give them much more than $10,000. So as we look at these things then, just as we shared, we're going to give all on the same date, much like we did last year. And as we do that, our encouragement is this: we're not focused specifically on the goal. We're focused on what is it that you really believe that the Lord has put on your heart to give out of the abundance of your heart. Now, as we remember this, I want you to remember as well that this is not our regular tithe and offering. We ask that you still give your regular tithe and offering, and anything that you give towards the Sacrifice Sunday project is above and beyond as the Lord lays on your heart. So as you consider that then, the week that we're going to be doing this is the third Sunday in December. It's the same week as the Cantata. It's the same week as the Cantata, but if you're not going to be here, we would encourage you then to just put your check, your envelope, or your online gift in the week before. And as you do that, just mark your check, your envelope, your online giving memo with that of Sacrifice Sunday. If you don't do that, it's just going to go straight into the church general fund if you don't mark it. So let me encourage you to mark it there. Let me encourage you, if you have any questions, to contact me. And as along with that as well, let me encourage you to prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you to give, either you yourself or your family, towards the project. Any questions? Yes. I can, and I think, Pastor Scott, would you like to share with the is it church groups? I can't remember the exact name. What some of the thoughts behind that and what we're looking at? Sure.
Yeah, so thanks, Meg, for the question. We are just trying to move things a little bit further into the 21st century. We probably the most sophisticated thing that we have at our disposal to keep track of y'all is our directory. And that's okay, but the directory app that many of you use on your phones, it's really handy, love it. But there's more information that we need to keep, and let me just give you a couple of examples. Who's a member, who's not a member, that's kept in one spreadsheet, In a separate spreadsheet, I'm standing under the speaker. In a separate spreadsheet, we have, so why that's important to know who's a member, who's not a member, is because whenever we have a business meeting where we take a vote, we have to establish quorum, right? And it would be really nice if we didn't have to do that manually, if we could just, you know instantly how many members we have, what the percentage is, and do that. Another example, and this is probably more important, is background checks. Everybody who works in the children's ministry at our church undergoes a background check. Right now we keep that track of that on a separate spreadsheet. And if somebody's not actively looking at that spreadsheet, background checks can fall out of date. And just I don't want to scare anybody, but mine did. I'm required to go down to the police station to get an FBI BCI background check. So I spent most of this school year out of compliance, I just found out. So as soon as I found out, I went down there and got fingerprinted. Good news is, I'm okay. But this particular database will do things like send a reminder to the office administrator saying, hey, Scott's about ready to come up for his every 5 year background check for FBI, BCI. So you need to get him down there to get that done. Other things too, like keep track of visitors on a separate spreadsheet, and pretty soon the spreadsheets get kind of difficult to manage. So what I've kind of been testing this out. We've been on a free trial. What this software is called Church Teams, and what it does is a whole bunch of cool stuff. First of all, it keeps track of all that information I just shared with you. But as a life group leader, and as a committee member and all this kind of stuff, it just makes managing those life groups and committees a lot easier, and keeps track of some metrics that helps us, like how many people in our church is in a life group. By the way, that's on another spreadsheet right now. And it gives us systems and tools so that life group leaders can keep their roster of who's coming to their life group up to date very effortlessly. By the way, it also does some other cool things, which I'm hesitant to tell you at all because I don't want you to get your hopes up that this is all going to happen in the next 2 weeks or something. But it allows parents of young children to check their kids into the nursery on their way to church by texting in a number. It allows you to register for events. So let's say that my lovely wife Tracy is up here talking about a women's event, and you want to come to it. The way we currently do it is you go out to the commons and you sign up. And if my wife is standing out there, you might pay her the $15 registration fee or whatever. And if she's not, she'll track you down. Believe me, she'll find you. And what this system allows you to do is, and I know this is going to scare some people because not all of us are techie, okay? But we'll provide a high-tech solution and a low-tech solution. But if my wife is up here talking about this lovely women's event that's coming up and you want to register for it, you'll be able to do that on your smartphone or on your computer without having to ever stop at the commons. You know, you can just log in and even pay the fee right then and there, and you're done. And it's kind of nice. And it also is nice for people like my wife who are coordinating events because they know in a quicker kind of a time frame who's coming and who's paid, who hasn't paid, all that kind of good stuff. So it also helps us to keep track of, like I said, the big thing for the Welcome Center would be having an iPad or a tablet or something at the thing. And if you come in and, oh, it's Bob Smith, and are you visiting today? Oh, yeah, I'm visiting. I'm looking for a new church. They can instantly just key in that information, and we can follow up that, you know, in the next couple of days, we can follow up with that person. So it does a lot of stuff, and it's relatively inexpensive, which is what I like.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Yeah, basically, it's a full church data management solution. Does that sum it up?
Yeah.
All right, great. Anyone else? Keith.
It is. So the idea is to try it for a year, and then if we like it, we'll weave it into the budget.
Anyone else? Okay, I am going to step down, and Pastor Scott is going to give you all a minute to think of any big questions that you would have, any general church questions of anything going on. And then we'll answer those, and he'll close us out in prayer.
Okay, before we do that, as I'm giving you a minute, to think up of your toughest questions that you can possibly come up with. I think we ought to take a moment to appreciate Pastor Brad. Now, before you do that, let me tell you why. The elders have put him through a nightmare in trying to come up with this Sacrifice Sunday. The sheet that you have is the product of a ton of work. Because every time he comes up with some ideas and he's calling around all these community places, you know, what do you need? What do you need? How can we help you? Whatever. Then he comes to an elder meeting and we shoot him all in the foot. Go again, Brad. So he has gone through various iterations. He has worked very hard. And I think that he's come up with some very good ways that we can be good stewards of should the Lord provide generously in the Sacrifice Sunday year end, then we can use that money very wisely. So let's give it up for Pastor Brad. Hey, Brad, take the next week off on me, would you? Okay. He's going on vacation tomorrow. I feel like I need to answer two questions before you even ask them. Number one is the announcement that I made this morning. I got some feedback from one of our elders that I wasn't clear. And this is what happens when you get too close to a situation and you don't understand. It's hard for me to back away and see your perspective on what I was saying this morning about that announcement about the person in our church that's been in the paper and all this kind of stuff, in the media. So I'm just going to clarify that this person hasn't done anything unlawful, illegal, whatever, within DBC or DCS. This is something that's going on outside of our church. This person just happens to attend here. So just in case anybody's thinking that there's something weird going on here at Delaware Bible Church or Delaware Christian School, no, that's all good. This is a person who's got some problems outside of here. And it's been very public. So, second thing is, Pastor Aaron wanted to say something. He's got an answer for whoever asked the question about the Staff Benevolent Fund.
Hey, everybody. So I'll just try to make this a short answer. If anyone has any additional questions, I'll stick around a little bit and you can talk to me about it. I'm the reason the Staff Benevolent Fund's in the negative. Since moving to Delaware, our family's encountered a couple unexpected things that has hit our reserves. And so we're in the process of rebuilding those, but one of the most recent things that kind of threw us for a loop was Alicia, as you might know, works for Delaware Christian School, but her position's managed by a third party. And those third parties changed actually a couple different times. And so each time that happens, that it created a gap in her pay. And so we were trying to get across that most recent bridge before between the last check from her previous employer and her first check from her upcoming employer. And so I articulated that in a staff prayer time, and Pastor Scott and I talked about it. And we're going to be in a process of replenishing the Staff Benevolent Fund as we are also hoping to rebuild some of our family's reserves. So if you have any more questions about that, I'll share with you whatever information you want. We're a pretty open book as far as that's concerned. But hopefully that answers the question about what's going on there and what the future plan is to get that out of the negative.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron. So, yeah, Alicia is our intervention specialist at our school, which means she works with children with individual education plans and things of that nature out in the Learning Cottage. And the school made the decision to change the this is really complicated. Her position is funded with state funds, and so we have to. Alicia either has to set herself up as a limited liability partnership or an LLC corporation, or we have to get her hired through a third party who's going to manage her and all this kind of stuff. So it was very complicated, but that was it. It was just a gap in her pay, in the process of switching over from one third party provider to another, and. To help them bridge that gap, we took some money out of the Staff Benevolent Fund, which they're going to replenish. Okay, now, all your hard questions, or we can go home. So, you pick. Yes, Marianne. Oh, she's got it written down. I'm really scared. Does it start off with Senator? Do you have any recollection? Go ahead.
Does the church usually meet the goal each year for this sacrifice?
It usually does, yes. It usually does. You guys are usually very generous around the year end, and we typically try not to, as leaders, put some undue burden. Like, you know, we kind of look at what the last, I think we looked at, I think Bart pulled up the numbers of the last 5 years, last 3 years of what the giving has been, and we just put the goal right in there somewhere. You know what I mean? So it's not like you gave $30,000 last year, and this year we're sitting at 50. Okay, it's Pastor Brad saying it's a little bit higher than the 2 years previous to last year, but it was a little bit lower than last year because last year we asked more because we kicked off the remodel last year. So, yeah, so it's right in there with what's been pretty routine. Anything else? Uh-oh, Pastor Brad has a question.
No question. Just wanted to ask, before we close, if any of you men are available afterwards that aren't in choir or anything like that, we have the U-Haul for the shoeboxes, and that won't take very long. If we could get 5 or 10 of you back there with Ray and Jim and those guys, we're going to load it up. It won't take very long, so they're ready to go in the morning after 11 o'clock so we can put them all in.
It would be greatly appreciated. Please don't make Ray and Jim load those because they drop a lot of boxes when they load. And all that kid stuff is going to get smashed up. No, I'm just teasing. They're great. You can ask me anything you want, literally. I'm not afraid. Okay. Oh, now I'm really afraid because it's Jane Minor. Yes, Jane.
Have we been given that, or have you figured it out, an average per how many giving families, like, so that we were sure to at least give that much, if not above?
We have not done that, but thank you, we will. It's not difficult math. We just take the total amount divided by the number of people currently giving, and then we'll throw that out there. So I'm going to put that on my to follow up on. Because Pastor Brad's leaving for vacation, I don't want to drop the ball. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Marianne. I'm sorry. Help me, Joanne. I said Marianne. I'm so sorry. You look exactly like my friend Marianne, so I always get that wrong. Okay. Yes. So the question that Joanne asked is, does the new church software help with any accounting? I mean, we use QuickBooks for accounting. That's the industry standard. We're not going to go away from that. But what it does do, I'm super excited about this, is at the end of the year, with just a few clicks of the button, it prepares all the year-end giving statements and puts them in PDF format. You can elect as a church person, a giver, to receive those through the email, just like that. Or we can do what we've done customarily, which is lay them out on the table for a few days, and you can choose to pick them up, or we can mail them to your house. So, but it does keep track of contributions, so that we can. The attempt here. We have a series of spreadsheets to do stuff over here. We actually have a software package Jelaine can tell you about. I think the name of the software package is Contributions. It's just a standalone program just designed to keep track of people's contributions. This would bring everything together. See, the problem with having multiple software packages is this. My name is Scott Teedy, and Jelaine has me all set up in Contributions. My name, my address, my phone number, whatever. And then over here on the spreadsheet, my name, my address. So if you say, I moved, then poor Jessica is thinking, great, what 10 spreadsheets and other 10 software packages do I have to log into to change your name and address? Yeah. So this is going to bring it all together into one and hopefully simplify. No, we just do that. We do that in a separate, we do have to keep that in a spreadsheet because, you know, each missionary gets a monthly check or whatever. So, yeah. Jillian takes care of that. Does that answer your question? Okay. Anything else? Mark, did you have, oh, you were just scratching your head. Okay. Yes, Jim. By the way, I got before you say anything, I got to ask Bob, did you know that the rooftop unit is having problems?
Yes.
Okay. Because, he went to the deacon meeting. Because I thought you were just like prophetic or something. But our rooftop heating and air conditioning unit that heats and cools this space is on the fritz. And it could be a little bit of money to fix it, or it could be a ton of money to fix it. But I'm not worried about it at all because we have the money in escrow. We have the money in escrow to fix it, even if it's the big number. And so I'm so thankful to Jim, the facilities committee, for making that happen. Go ahead, Jim. You had questions.
Three things. Does that make you scared?
No. Because I know you, Jim. I love you. Are you talking about the Boilermakers or? Oh, okay. Oh, thanks, Jim. No, the boilers that heat the water that heat this building. Yeah. Somebody needs to be talking to.
$158,000 you saw?
Yeah.
Only about $50,000. It's about $50,000.
Somebody needs to be talking to some Boilermakers.
We do need to be talking to some Boilermakers.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Jim. We are currently in talks with some folks about taking over as deacon of facilities and pray about that because we definitely need that position filled so that they can keep an eye on the stuff that Jim's talking about. But this. The reason that this room is warm, because our rooftop unit is broken right now, the reason that this room is warm is because we have boilers and there's a radiant heat system over here that we fired up when that died last week. So we don't have any air conditioning right now, sorry, but you don't really need it this time of year. We'll have it fixed by the summertime, but that's the kind of stuff that's got to be looked after. No, this system is working. The radiant heat system, in other words, there's hot water pipes coming down and there's radiant heat coming. It's the forced air system, those ducts, the rooftop unit that's sitting up on the thing that's broken. And we're getting estimates right now. We don't know if it's going to be a few thousand dollars or tens of thousands of dollars, but we're not worried about it because the money's in escrow. And exactly. Joanne says, what's a Boilermaker? See, that's an inside joke. Okay, we got to let Joanne in on the inside joke. I went to Purdue, and Purdue are the Boilermakers. That's their mascot. Oh, okay. They beat Iowa yesterday, right? Which means they beat Ohio State, right? Just saying. I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for clarifying for that for me. If you want an in-depth tour of the boiler rooms, I'll be happy to give that to you. But while you're it right. If right now the boilers go, we have two. One feeds this side of the building, and one feeds that side of the building. If this one were to go, then this hot water system won't work, and it'll get really cold in here. But again, this one just broke down. It's not the end of the world. We're going to get it fixed. We've got a guy working on it. The roof unit. I'm saying the probability of the rooftop unit dying and the boiler dying at the same moment is... Well, I'm not superstitious. I mean, God is in control, right? I mean, if that's the trial that he wants to put us through, then we'll all wear our winter coats next Sunday, you know? Yeah. And we'll be thankful that we have a building to sit in, right? Man, that... Any other questions about boilers, Boilermakers, Iowa? Okay. With nothing else, no other questions, I'm going to close us in prayer, and we're going to leave. Now, again, we just do this occasionally, information meeting occasionally, to bring you up to speed. Here are the takeaways for tonight, okay? Be very thankful. Our giving is ahead of our budget. Praise the Lord, you know? Be thankful that even though we're having this hiccup with our building, we still have heat, and we've got the money to pay for the repairs. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we get the opportunity to give towards a sacrifice Sunday and to be able to contribute to what the Lord's doing globally, locally, right here at our church. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things to praise the Lord about tonight, right? I mean, not only are we saved and going to heaven forever to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we actually get to participate in his work here on earth, and that's just a tremendous blessing. So with all that being said, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us just to catch up on some business, to do a check, see where we're at. And Father, we just thank you and praise you. You have blessed this church in many different ways. You've given not only us resources to have this lovely building and a wonderful space to worship in, a great Christian school that's thriving, growing, but you've given us brains so that we can plan a little bit ahead and think about how we can bless others, think about how we can wisely put away some funds so that we can make repairs when the building lets go, when the building fails. And Father, I just want to, again, thank you for Pastor Brad, all his efforts, and the opportunity that you've given us to serve the Deliches, serve this shelter that is needed in our county, the opportunity that you've given us to do some work right here at our church. And Father, just pray that you would bless our efforts. And Father, most of all, we just pray that you'd give us people that we could share the gospel with, and that you, as we share the gospel with them, that you might open their hearts, open their minds, and save them. Father, that would be a great blessing for us to be able to see this church grow by conversion. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming out. God bless you. Have a great night.